Praise the Lord. Man, it's wonderful to be in the presence of God, to worship Him together. Praise the Lord. I bring greetings from Ebenezer Church in London, England. I had the opportunity and the privilege to share the word with God, of God with the people, and they were really blessed. They thank you for your prayers and for your love and concern. And we had a marvelous time worshiping there. A few weeks ago, in fact, it was the first Sunday of October, I shared a word called, "Don't go back, burn the ships." And then the next week, Sunday was Thanksgiving. I shared about Thanksgiving, and then Greg shared, and then Sharon shared, and now I'm back again. And today's sermon is called, "Don't Go Back, Burn the Plow, and Roast the Cow." Amen. It's just a play of words. Praise God. I want to start with the same story I told you the last time, that was a few weeks ago, that on February 19th, 1519, the Spanish explorer Hernan Cortes set sail for Mexico with an entourage of 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, and 553 soldiers. When they got to Mexico, the indigenous population upon their arrival was approximately 5 million people. From a purely mathematical standpoint, the odds were stacked against Hernando Cortes. It was stacked against him by a ratio of 7,541 to 1. Two previous expeditions had failed to establish a settlement in the New World, yet Cortes was eventually able to conquer much of South America. What Cortes is reported to have done upon landing is an epic tale of mythic proportions. He issued an order when they arrived there that turned his mission into an all or nothing proposition. He simply told the people, his people, "Burn the ships. Burn the ships." As his crew watched the fleet of ships burn and sink, they came to terms with the fact that retreating was not an option. And friends, there is a lesson to be learned there. That is very extreme. It's an extreme way to do things. You have to be ready to give yourself completely over to the cause. Because once you burn the ships, there is no going back. But taking extreme measures can give us the motivation to succeed. Sometimes anything less than burning the ships won't work. In the story I told you about Commander Cortes, Commander Cortes told them to burn the ships, and the crew had no choice but to follow their leader, even if they wanted to succeed. But listen to our commander, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, our commander. He calls us to make that decision for ourselves. He won't make it for us. We need to determine in our hearts today, friends, if we are ready to take on the challenge. if we are making the commitment like this, would show how serious we are at leaving the old behind and embracing the new. And in the world today, in churches across the world, people haven't done this. They have not left the world behind and embraced the new. They kind of fluctuate. Hey, what kind? Anything goes. Now, friends, thank you. That's my bride. Now, Elisha was such a person. But before I talk about him, let me talk about Elijah. The people of God, under King Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel, they were flirting with the Canaanite and the Phoenician god Baal. You remember that? Elisha challenged the 400 prophets, the 450 prophets of Baal, to a showdown on Mount Carmel. He said, come guys, we need to determine who is the true God. And the 450 prophets of Baal began their chanting and jumping around. And no matter what they tried, there was no answer from Baal. And then Elijah called upon the name of the Lord. And God wonderfully came through for him. The fire of God fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifices, the wood, the stones, the water in the trenches, and what have you. What a great victory for Elijah. Well, King Ahab went and told his evil wife Jezebel what had happened, and she got fed up and she threatened to kill Elijah. You know, we read in the Bible that Elijah became afraid and he was so overwhelmed with depression that he took off into the wilderness and found himself sitting under a boom tree or a juniper tree. And there, while he was sitting there feeling sorry for himself, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here? Go before the Lord in the mountain. And when Elijah did that, friends, the Lord was not found in the fierce wind. The Lord was not found in the earthquake. The Lord was not found in the fire. But the Lord was found in the still small voice.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friends, listen. God tells Elijah, hey buddy, there is work to be done. This is no time for giving up. This is no time for sitting feeling all sad. It's work. There's work to be done. And I want you to go and anoint Hazael and Jehu as kings. And when you're done, I want you to anoint Elisha as the prophet. Let's read the Bible. One Kings 19. First two verses there in 15 and 16 as I want to read. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Mehola, something like that, to succeed you as prophet. Carrying on, we go to verse 19. So Elisha went from there and found Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant, or became his attendant. It's interesting, friends, that although Elijah was told to go and anoint two kings, he didn't do that at first. In fact, that event is not even mentioned in our chapter. Instead, Elijah traveled 330 miles to reach Elisha. And when he found him, there was this fellow plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Some of those underlined phrases, I'd just like to touch on them quickly. Elijah took his cloak, his garment, and us, we love to use the word his mantle, and threw it over Elisha. Immediately, Elisha knew that this meant the passing of the torch. The garment, the mantle of the prophet was being given to him. And as the garment was placed upon his shoulders, the duty of being a prophet would now be his responsibility. 12 yoke of oxen. The yoke is 2, 12, 24 oxen. There are 24 oxen. Which means, friends, this was a large amount of oxen for the day. And thus, to have so many oxen meant that he had lots of land. You see that? Elisha was well-to-do. In today's standards, he will be a successful farmer. Yet he didn't hesitate for even a moment in leaving it all behind to accept his calling. To accept his calling. You will agree with me, friends, that sometimes material things can get in the way of being willing to leave the old behind and to embrace the new. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes. Sometimes material things, stuff, gets in the way of us giving ourselves to the calling of God. To leave behind the old and to embrace the new. When he was convinced in his heart that he was ready to surrender himself to the special calling, the Bible says he ran after Elijah. Let me say just quickly, owning 12 pairs of oxen those days was equivalent to owning 24 cars today. Right? That's the equivalent. It's obvious Elisha was ambitious and prosperous. It's also obvious that he was humble. Why do we say that? For when he could be sitting back, watching his 11 servants work, the Bible says he went out and he was working too. It kind of reminds me of the farmers here in Canada. They might have help, but they are in it as well. But those friends who are physically ambitious, listen to the sentence, very important. those who are physically ambitious, when they get saved, they are spiritually ambitious. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. It's an oxymoron to be a lazy Christian. Come on now. Amen. Isn't the Lord lovely? Jesus is, God is looking for that trait in us. God is looking for that trait in us. Jesus said, you know what? He that is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. You know, I was reading about a humble minister in a village in Leicestershire, England. During his entire ministry, only two young boys got saved. Only two young boys became Christians in his entire ministry in this village of Leicestershire. Now, some might call that a waste. But listen, friends, those two boys he influenced for Christ. One was William Carey, the father of world missions. One of the first missionaries in this modern time to India. The other one was Robert Hall, a Baptist minister who was considered in his day to be the greatest preacher. Let me go and say goodbye to my mother and father. Let me go and kiss them. This wasn't Elijah struggling with his emotions saying, now, you know, I'm feeling bad that I've got to leave my mother. No. It was simply a sign of respect and responsibility. He needed to let his family know of what had just taken place, and he needed them to know that he is now embarking on his new calling. He said, I am being called and I'm going, and out of respect for you, he has a kiss goodbye. Listen to the response. At first, it's a little bit off-putting. The response of Elijah. What have I done to you? What have I done to you? But listen, friends. If you do a word study, you will find that Elijah was simply saying, hey, buddy, I've got no issues with that. Besides, you don't have to say anything to me. I'm not the one calling you. God is calling you. This is between you and him. Go and do what you need to. And then make sure you come back. Friends, we see that Elisha, he went back. He slaughtered the cows, or the oxen. Let's just call them cows for fun. He slaughtered the cows. And he burned the plows. This seems rash and, you know, extreme. Hey, buddy, wait, cool it now. Calm down. No. Wouldn't his family need to continue farming? Why did he do this? Well, let me say, friends, that very act was communicated his transition. Do you agree with that? It communicated his transition. I am destroying the old, he says. I'm leaving it behind in order to fully embrace the new and not look back. I'm not going to be there prophesying as thus saith the Lord. And in the end, I'm wondering, man, how's the farm going? You see that? He's saying, I am leaving that behind and I'm embracing the new. I'm destroying the old. I'm leaving it behind in order to embrace the new. I'm not looking back. And so when Elijah gave him the mantle, passed the torch, he took that proverbial torch and burnt the things associated with his former life. He wanted to make sure, friends, that he will not leave himself the opportunity to change his mind and go back. Do you agree with that? We see that he used the meat to feed his family and his friends. Come guys, barbecue time. Let's enjoy. This is my farewell dinner. This is my goodbye feast. This is my barbecue. Or as we say in South Africa, braai. This is, South Africans don't know what barbecue what? Braai. We're having a braai, guys. Even though we're not given the details of this event, I can picture the scene. It was no doubt filled with a mixture of tears of sadness and joy. He was human, after all. It would be natural to be emotional. You leaving your family, your livelihood behind to embark on a new road with no going back. Elisha, he was probably had a mixture of emotions, joy and excitement, with sadness and tears, with a little nervousness as well. In our introduction story of Hernan Cortez, we find that burning the ships is serious stuff. Do you agree, friends?
Right.
Burning the ships is serious stuff. It's a drastic measure that communicates devotion and purpose. For Elisha, burning the plow and roasting the cows was a serious business, because it was a drastic measure that communicated devotion and purpose. Now, does every Christian need to burn the ships? Does every Christian need to burn the ships? Does every Christian need to burn the plow and roast the cow, as it were? Well, Elisha was being called into ministry, and we can see why it would be necessary for him to burn the ships, as it were, to burn the plows, as it were, when he accepts that call. But not all of us are called to be a pastor. Not all of us are called to be a prophet. Not all of us are called to be an evangelist. But friends, listen, just when you think, no, just before you do that, every one of us, listen, say, that means me too. Yeah. Every one of us have been called to serve. Amen?
Right.
We are saved to serve. We are not saved to sit.
Right.
We are saved to serve. And God has called every one of us by name. Friends, God is calling you to surrender to the Lordship of Christ, to follow Him and to serve Him. Every one of us need to burn the ships, as it were. Luke 9:62, Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." To look back means to look with longing, to look with the desire to go back, to hunger and to crave the flesh pots of Egypt. It's looking back and wishing that for the good old days, as you called it. But listen, friends, God wants us to move forward in Him. God wants us to burn the ships. God wants us not to fight the desire every minute to not go back. I want to burn the ships of my past. that I won't have anything to go back to. You might say, but hey, hang on now, Keith. I can just go buy some more ships. Hey, you know what? I gave up farming. We ate those cows. I burnt the plows. I'll just go and buy some more. Friends, listen. We need to be ever vigilant to continue to avoid satisfying the flesh. We need to be vigilant that we continue daily to take up our cross and follow the Lord. Elisha slaughtered his oxen and he burnt his plows, but he could have bought more. So what should we do? Listen to this sentence. Once we burn our ships, we must stay away from the shipyard. Okay? Now I'm going to give you an illustration. I never preach about this ever. But let me give you a story that I know to be true. A man who was once an alcoholic terrorized his family and community. When he got saved and delivered from this, he had the audacity one day to say, well, you know, when I go to my friends that I used to hang out with and we used to drink and so on, you know what? I don't drink anymore. Yeah, but I'm the barman. I pour the shots for the guys. Listen, what the sermon is about today, friends, burn those ships, man. Stop messing with the past. Stay away from places where you can be tempted. Don't tiptoe around these things. You have been saved. You've been blood washed. You've been spirit filled. What are you doing there? We do our best to not put ourselves in a position to be tempted. Romans 13:14. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Isn't that true, friends?
Yes.
Not only are we not to do the acts that are of the sinful nature, Paul says, don't even think about it. Yes. That's wisdom, since we'll think about it before we give in to doing it. I like how the North American Standard Bible puts it. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Do not provide any means for the old nature. Do not take any preparatory step to supply for the flesh. Friends, Elisha was serious about God's calling on his life, and he showed it in his actions. We need to have the same seriousness in regards to God's calling that he has placed on our lives as his followers. Colossians 3:5-10. Paul doesn't play here. Put to death. Just like that, off the bat. Put to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, listen, But now, don't mess with that stuff. Put to death. Burn it. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. He throws in anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Friends, a radical command to put to death whatever belongs to the old nature calls for a radical approach. I threw in this verse, Romans, we learned it when we were small, remember? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, how? As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not, listen, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Don't even think about that, Paul says. Renew your mind. Why? That you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's not on the screen, but you know what Romans 8:7 says? A sinful mind is hostile towards God. The old sinful nature wants nothing to do with God. But me as a Christian want above everything to have nothing to do with sin. That's how it should be. I want to conclude now. God has put a calling on every Christian. Yes, you too. He wants us to burn the ships of the sinful nature so that we don't go back, friends. We need to focus on where we're going, not where we've been. Some people try to be focused on both. They have one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world. And that shouldn't be. That will never work. We need to let go of the past, friends, whether it's a person, a thing, an attitude, or a behavior. We need to let go of the past, friends. We should destroy our ability to go back to the negative people and situations. But that takes determination. You've got to decide and that you're going to do it. That takes a serious commitment to render the old and harmful things as dead. Those are dead to me. So we make sure that when we put death to death the misdeeds of the flesh, that we make no provision to resurrect them. Burning the ships, burning the plow and roasting the cow are drastic measures to take. But when it comes to moving forward, friends, it's really the only way to be truly successful. Half measures, lukewarmness, this way, that way, doesn't work. Won't cut it, friends. We have to leave the past behind and strain towards the future. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, listen. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining. You don't strain like this. Hey? You're determined. You strain. You put in effort, determination. Paul says, man, forgetting what's behind, I'm straining toward what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Friends, we do so this morning, and many of you have already done it, and we thank God for you. But God has been talking to you about certain areas in your life. He wanted you to be here to hear this. We do so by making a defining decision that will eliminate the possibility of sailing back to the old world we left behind, or going back to the life we once lived. Now, for some of us, listen, you maybe need to burn the ship or the plow named past failure and past success. Every time the Lord speaks to you and the Holy Spirit encourages you, the past comes up and you say, I can't do that. Hey, you need to burn that ship, friends. For some of you, you might have to burn the ship and the plow named excuses. I'm too young. I'm too old. I can never. I got this. This is wrong with me. This is sore. I'm sick. Burn that. Some of you need to burn the ship or the plow named bad habit. You got a bad habit. Burn that, friends. Some of you need to burn the ship or the plow named regret. 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 Some of you need to burn the ship or the plow named guilt. You feel guilty, man. Every time you see something or you hear something, you are riddled with guilt. Some of you need to burn the ship or the plow named my old way of life. Friends, you have to eliminate the possibility of moving backward into the past. You've got to eliminate that. You can't have plan B. Christians shouldn't have plan B. I'll just go back. No, eliminate that. God wants us to move forward with Christ, to go after our goals, to serve Him wholeheartedly, and to go after our God-given dreams. May we all burn the ships that hold us back, and let's move forward with God. He has rich rewards in store for those who obediently follow Him and serve Him. Perhaps it's a good time for us to strike the match. Hey, listen, friends, come on. God's been speaking to you about it already. Listen, it's a good time for us to strike the match and burn the ship, burn the plow. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.